are tuned in to 106.1 FM WSCA LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. It's now time for the program titled Local Folk here on Portsmouth Community Radio. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, and I'm dedicated to the local folk music scene and the people who make it happen. I'm here to help share the many different ways we arrive where we are in the traditional music community and also how we involve ourselves in the many diverse groups of local folk. These groups include not only musicians, but listeners, collectors, historians, and any other keepers of the tradition. I do this through the music and stories of my guests who are willing to sit in with me and share with you all a little bit about themselves. Before I introduce my guest this evening, I have a few announcements, including a thanks, followed by the weather, community bulletin, and something from our magnanimous underwriters. So today, I'd like to thank Sylvia Misko, who was kind enough to email me after last week's show to explain a little bit about the type of traditional tune called an air. She wrote in reference to the airs Bob Paul shared with us last week, and she writes, "Hi, Steve, here's more info about airs. Ballads have words, airs don't. They are often written in honor or about some person or place. I play a lot of Scottish music, so I am familiar with those airs. Neil Gow's Lament Under the Death of His Second Wife and Coylesfield House are two 18th century airs, and De Slocket Light is a contemporary Shetland one." And then we were talking about the tempo, and she says you put a great deal of interpretation into the playing, but keep the meter pretty constant. Thank you very much, Sylvia, for that clarification. And for those of you who don't know, Sylvia is the head of the Strathspian Reel Society of New Hampshire. I hope she decides to join us someday soon on Local Folk. All right, let's take a look at the weather. According to my computer, it's 35 degrees outside, humidity 40%, wind speed southwest at 7 miles per hour, dew point 13 degrees. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 23, west wind between 6 and 9 miles per hour. Tuesday, we have increasing clouds with a high near 43, west wind between 6 and 9 miles per hour. I will quit while I'm ahead at Tuesday. And let's see. A couple community announcements. Hungry for Change, Food, Ethics, and Sustainability, a six-week discussion course. The Green Sanctuary team at the UU South Church, located at 292 State Street in Portsmouth, is offering a six-week discussion course prepared by the Northwest Earth Institute. The course will examine the impact of our food choices on the ecosystem health and the treatment of factory and farm workers and the global economy. The course will be held on Wednesday nights from March 7th through April 11th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the South Church Library. There is a small fee for the course book and the space is limited. For more information or to register for the course, contact Kevin Leahy at kleahy51@gmail.com or call 207-752-2763 no later than February 19th. More information on the Northwest Earth Institute can be found at www.nwei.org. Speaking of environment, there is an environmental scientist, Amory Lovins, to speak in Exeter, February 14th. Amory Lovins, chairman of the chief and chief scientist of the Rocky Mountain Institute, will give a free public lecture on Tuesday, February 14th at 7 p.m. at Phillips Exeter Academy. Lovins, an experimental physicist and 1993 MacArthur Fellow, has been active at the nexus of energy, resources, environment, development, and security in more than 50 countries for 35 years. He is widely considered among the world's leading authorities on energy, especially its efficient use and sustainable supply, and a fertile innovator in integrative design. In 2009, Time named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world, and foreign policy, one of the top 100 top global thinkers. Wow. Levin's talk will be held at the Assembly Hall in the PEA Academy building located on Front Street. The Assembly Hall is handicapped accessible and street parking is available. The talk is presented by We the People, a free lecture and film series co-sponsored by the Congregational, Episcopal, and Unitarian Universalist Churches of Exeter in association with Phillips Exeter Academy. More information is available at www.exeter.edu. Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by Daystar Computer Services, offering business-class technology services designed to meet each client's needs. Information at daystarinc.com. We also get support from Do Hair Salon at 25 Government Street in Kittery, specializing in everything for hair, cuts, colors, do's, updo's, and urban styling. You can reach Do at 207-439-4009. And now on to local folk. Tonight's guest is unique in that she got her inspiration to start playing traditional music from her children as opposed to the other way around. Getting a taste of the music from unlikely sources and inspired by the spirit of Christmas, she embarked on a musical journey that was at times riddled with frustration, but eventually brought her to find an elusive missing link in her own playing, and also to find a great community and lots of fun, too. From being a source of support and encouragement to her children in the musical pursuits to being a session leader for new traditional tune players in need of a training ground, she is an inspiration. So, I welcome to the program Barbara Stewart. Welcome. Let's try that just one more time.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for having me on.
I am so glad to have you here. I'm going to play a song right now, just a little bit in the background while we chat a little bit about a song that helped you, that helped point you in the direction of traditional music, and you heard it in an unlikely place. Do you want to just tell me real little bit about that? It's
Sure. This one is Ode to a Butterfly. It's by Nickel Creek. A lot of you probably have heard this one before. I was not used to listening to this kind of music at all. I grew up listening to classical music thanks to my parents' passion for it. But then I listened to rock music like most other kids. And then one day, maybe 7-8 years ago, I was driving down Route 4 in my car in Northwood, I remember, on my way to Portsmouth for something. And this came on the radio. It was 93.5 The River, and all of a sudden, there was this instrumental tune that I was enjoying. I couldn't believe it. And there was this instrument. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what a mandolin was. I just knew it sounded great, and I just couldn't get it out of my head.
And that's what we're listening to right now. This is the Nickel Creek. Here we go. Why don't we turn this up for a minute and give this a listen for just a moment. So at what point did you find out that that was mandolin that was playing there?
Oh, it was a long time afterwards, I'm embarrassed to say. But by the time I heard this, I still hadn't had a clue that I might be able to join playing an instrument that I was capable of doing with some ability. And enjoying that kind of music that was coming out of that same instrument. This might sound a little weird for those of you who are into this now, but okay. I learned how to play my flute when I was in junior high school in the school band. And if anybody has had that experience, you know it's generally not the kind of music that you want to listen to in your spare time. You do it because you're encouraged to do it by your parents or whatever, and you like your instrument just fine, but it's band music. So by the time I was almost done with high school, I decided, okay, I'm really kind of tired of this. I'm just going to put it away. Mm-hmm. And for years and years, music for me was a listening experience. Mm-hmm. I might get out my flute at Christmas time to play a carol or something like that, but my flute was kept in a case in a closet, and it was for that music that I used to do when I was a kid. And so it wasn't until I started hearing more and more of the traditional music that it started to dawn on me that mm-hmm. maybe I could actually play something that I enjoyed listening to.
You know, about the band, I remember I played saxophone in the band when I was in middle school, and they never gave you the lead part. So all the parts that I was playing on the saxophone were like, if I went home to practice them, they didn't make any sense
no.
to be played on their own. Which, you know, playing as a group is a really wonderful thing, but that's what I remember about playing band music. I did like the togetherness of the whole thing, but I think, yeah. Is that what you're coming from?
Yeah,
a little
that's
bit?
Part of it, and plus the selections just weren't that interesting.
Yep. Well, eventually you found instruments that that did, and we'll definitely get to that in a little bit. So did you go and buy that Nickel Creek album? Did you start collecting music at the time?
Yeah, I bought that album, and I also was interested in Bonnie Rideout. She's the fiddler we heard on the first selection. That was from her album Kindred Spirits, Mrs. Gunn's Sweet Molly and Wise Maid. And she's a Scottish style fiddler, and I don't remember where I first heard her stuff, but that really stuck in my musical craw too, and it just kind of was in the background more than anything. Still at that point I didn't think, oh, I might be playing anything like this someday.
No, but you did think that you would be listening.
Yes. So I was starting to make this slow coming together, both on the listening side and the playing side.
What I want to do is put on a little mood music, because I want to talk about what was happening a few years back, at least, around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... I believe this is Joy to the World, Ding Dong Merrily on High by David Surrett.
Yeah, this is David Surrett on the album that he does with Susie Burke and Kent Allen. It's called Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And this is taken from the holiday folk concert that the three of them have been doing for several years now. On the album, it's David and I think his wife Susie playing guitar in the background. I'm not sure. But I remember hearing this for the first time about 6 years ago when I went with my family to see this concert, and we were not familiar with this kind of music at all. And we loved all the old carols that were played, and it was funny too and beautiful. Just wonderful musicians. But what really stuck in our minds for a long time afterwards was this one time in the middle of the show when Susie and Kent kind of went off to one side and left David there on the stage with his mandolin. Mm-hmm. And he started playing this set with Joy to the World and then Ding Dong Merrily on High.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone in the audience was just so floored with not just his technical ability, because it's pretty astounding, but the joyfulness of it really was in the spirit, and it was both intense and happy at the same time. And afterwards we saw people going up to the stage to ask about the mandolin, and I was curious because it sounded vaguely familiar. Maybe I heard it somewhere on a Nickel Creek tune. I don't know. And we went up to ask, and my then husband Dave Stewart and my kids Axel and Madeline Stewart were all really interested in the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And so afterwards, they were all talking about it. And I thought, oh my goodness, Christmas is coming. Maybe I can do something here.
So afterwards, you learned about the mandolin, and then you were able to take that to your family. And I just want to give a listen to this, a little bit of a listen to this, so when we come back, you can tell us about
Absolutely.
What happened after.
I don't want to miss it either.
know, I had somebody, I should just say at first, you're listening to Local Folk here on WSCA 106.1. My guest is Barbara Stewart. For those of you who are just joining us, she runs the slow session at the Barley Pub on Tuesday nights. Now, I had friends of mine telling me that I should think of something technical to say about songs maybe when they're done, and I just have to say I have nothing technical to say about that. That was just a really beautiful song, very uplifting. Yeah. Very uplifting.
Yeah, and everybody was wowed at that concert, I remember, and we've all gone to everyone since then, and every time we're just as wowed by that and everything else that the three of them do. But thinking back about that one concert and the mandolin fever that came over the rest of my family, that's when I thought, oh, okay, I can do something mm-hmm. for these people. And mm-hmm. I decided mm-hmm. I would get them a mandolin for mm-hmm. Christmas.
Get them a mandolin.
One mandolin for Christmas. And I thought, oh, that'll be nice. They can share. And I'll also get them one 30-minute weekly lesson with David Surrett mm-hmm. To share. Mm-hmm. My kids were already taking lessons at the Concord Community Music School, which mm-hmm. is a fantastic institution mm-hmm. in Concord. Mm-hmm. It's a really, oh, I can't say enough good things about it. I'm going to run out of adjectives. But it is big. There are lots of really fine faculty members. So there's much to choose from, different styles, different teachers and such. Mm-hmm. But anyway, My kids and Dave started taking that lesson, and it wasn't too long before one mandolin became three, and one lesson became three, and I started enjoying listening to mandolin music in the house. But my son had a little trouble with the practice routine, and so I thought, well, I look at the sheet music. It doesn't mm-hmm. look that hard. Mm-hmm. I'll get out my flute and I'll mm-hmm. play with him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be really cool. And once I started playing, I thought, oh, I want to do this too. And meanwhile, David Surrett had said, well, you know, I do have an adult folk ensemble at the school. And I asked if I could join. And he said, sure. Even though I was totally wedded to my sheet music, he was very kind and let me play. So I decided to come, and I thought, well, if I'm going to try to blend in with this group, I better get an instrument that's a little more traditional than my classical flute that I played in band. And so I got myself a whistle.
You got yourself a whistle. Does that have something, just out of curiosity, I have a tune that we were going to play called Sadness of Some. Now, does that have to do with the whistle?
Yes. That is a tune that David Surrett had suggested I listen to. He has done recording and performing with Sarah Bowen, who is a wonderful whistler and flute player. Mm-hmm. And I listened to the tunes he suggested, and I got to this one, and it just struck me so hard. I didn't know that you could do something like this with a whistle.
Well, why don't we give that a listen? Sadness of Some. right. Well, if you want to hear the rest of that uninterrupted, you're going to have to purchase the CD, I think. That is...
Yeah, that's from Chasing the New Moon, and that's Sarah Bowen, and it's David Surratt accompanying her. As with so many of these wonderful recordings, I'm always torn between being inspired and being totally depressed because I can't imagine how I can ever play like that someday. But I try to pull myself out of the depths and think, okay, just a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And
Anything that you would say to, now that you know how to play, is there anything that you would say to those people that are listening to things like this and saying, I could never?
Yes, you can. You can. I was so certain that I couldn't do all sorts of things, and I'm here to say it's not true. I'm not going to say you can do anything, because I don't think that's true either. But, yep. For example, I was certain that I could not play anything without looking at sheet music.
Okay.
I tried to play by ear as a kid a couple of times and mm-hmm. failed miserably. And okay. people would tell me, oh, but just do this. Oh, try it this way. Try this trick. No. You don't understand. I'm different. I have this little piece of my brain that's wrong, and I have this disability, and I'm different. I can't do it. Stop.
Oh boy.
And yeah,
that's a lot of roadblocks to overcome.
Yeah, I got pretty obnoxious about it, I think, at times, but I didn't completely shut out all those suggestions, because I was getting more and more determined to try to play like this, because it was so beautiful. So I tried, and meanwhile I heard this. About this flute player named Shannon Heaton, who also played the whistle, and someone told me, oh, she has a tune book, you know. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's more sheet music. She plays Irish traditional music. Maybe I can pick up a few things that way.
You said, what a bonus, that sheet music.
Yeah.
This is right up my alley.
Yeah, I can still have my crutch.
See, when I look at sheet music, I think, I forget how to do that. Give me some tablature, or, well, see, I don't even play an instrument at this point. Maybe I should take one up. I'm becoming more and more inspired as we go. But I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's all right. So I found this tune book. It's called Oil for the Chain.
Mm-hmm.
And are we at the end of this one tune?
Well, yes, but I think we're going into the Shannon Heaton
yes,
tune.
Yes, we are. And I started looking at the sheet music, and then I started playing the practice CD that came along with it. And I kept thinking, well, how come what I hear on the CD is so much richer than what's on the page? I hear all these little extra notes that sound really great, and mm-hmm. I'm not playing them. I'm not hearing them when I'm playing straight from the sheet music.
Mm-hmm.
And all those ornaments are, of course, what give it the heart, the oomph, the spirit, everything that we love about it.
So is this, right now I'm playing something from the learning CD that goes
yeah.
with the book. Now
yeah.
you're saying that when you look at the sheet music, it's not written just like this?
No.
Oh boy.
No, Shannon will leave out notes here and there to take a breath.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
That's what you have to do when you play the flute. And she ornaments the whole tune all over the place and in different ways each time through.
So the little do-do-do, do-do-do, is
yeah.
that... Is part of it, or is that written, or?
Well, the ornaments are very subtle, and that was another problem I had. I didn't even know what she was doing. I knew that there were ornaments, but I didn't know how to do it. And so when I would try to memorize the music, maybe measure by measure, photographic style, bit by bit, slogging through the mud, I still couldn't figure out what the heck she was doing with the ornaments. And then one day someone said, you know, you could actually... Just ask her.
You could just ask her.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I have an idea. Let's listen to this ornamentation. There's only about a minute left, and I want to hear some of this. The last learning CD I listened to, I think it had chopsticks on it, so...
It's pretty impressive. And that's her husband, Matt Heaton, accompanying her.
So somebody said, hey, why don't you just go ask her?
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about being interested in this kind of music. As Kent Allen once said, the field of unpopular music is wide open. And what that means, unfortunately, is that it's harder for traditional musicians, as good as they can be able to do so well financially, usually, that they can be high up on a pedestal where no one can touch them. Mm-hmm. But for the fans and mm-hmm. the learners, mm-hmm. this is really helpful, because usually you can find one of your idols and ask her, what did you do? How did you do that? Mm-hmm. So Shannon Heaton, for instance, gives lessons. Mm-hmm. And she lives in the Boston area. And I took 3 lessons from her last winter and had this huge universe open up to me. Mm-hmm. I finally knew how to do a roll and a cut and a strike and stuff like that. And all these mysteries were somewhat solved.
So she's one of the people that really helped you.
Absolutely. And there are so many others out there. And if you are interested in this kind of music, I urge you to just ask for help. There's so many people who are really willing to help you, mm-hmm. including sometimes your own children. that I had gotten to the point where I finally had to admit that, yes, even I am capable of going away from the sheet music for short periods of time, maybe as long as a whole tune. But I had never learned how to play something straight from hearing it without looking at sheet music first. My daughter, meanwhile, who plays all sorts of instruments really well, much better than I ever will, thought that it was time that she got me out of that way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And she said, Mom, I think it's time you learned The Butterfly. Mm-hmm. Oh, The Butterfly. That was on the movie The Secret of Rowan Inish. And it's a, at this point, probably an overplayed tune at regular sessions, but
it's
beautiful
tune.
And for those who are new to it, it's a standard. And so my daughter convinced me to try, and mm-hmm. and she did it. She sat me down and went through it small phrase by small phrase, mm-hmm. and she taught me The Butterfly. And so this next selection is The Butterfly, and mm-hmm. it's a recording that I did just a couple of days ago mm-hmm. on my iPhone with Madeline and my son Axel Stewart. I have to apologize to my daughter for the way her fiddle sounds on this. It sounds pretty tinny because of the iPhone, but she got the idea of doing a call and response way of going through the first part, and so that's what's going on this one.
This is the butterfly, but it is not exactly the traditional version of the butterfly that we're going to hear.
Not at first.
Okay, and this is from one of your main inspirations, we would say?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Thank you. You are tuned in to 106.1 FM, WSCA, LP Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio. This is Steve Carrigan, and the program that you're listening to is called Local Folk. My guest today is Barbara Stewart. She runs the Slow Session at the Barley House in Concord, New Hampshire, on Tuesday nights, for those of you who are just joining us. And in fact, I believe... Well, I should also mention very quickly that a slow session is a learning session, but we're definitely going to get into that. But I want people to know that if you, it is a great group, and that the slow session, they're always open to newcomers. So if you'd like more information about the slow session, it's not right there, I don't think, on the Barley House website, but you can get it at Barbara.
It's my email address.
Stewart,
you can just write to
email.com. Barbara G. H. Stewart.
At gmail.com.
Yep. Okay, yep. Or you could write to myself, Steve Carrigan, at WSCA. It's SCARRIGAN at WSCAFM.org. And those are places where you can get information. I will forward it on to Barbara. And we were just going to get into the idea that at this time she's learning, she's inspired by her children and learning so much. So much, in fact, that somebody's approaching you to start a slow session?
Well, sort of. I was saying to a couple of the players from the regular session at the Barley House, Claudia Altimus, who plays whistle, and Neil Kenny, who plays tenor banjo, that I would really love to have some setting where I could learn how to play in a session environment without wrecking the session that I'm trying to get into. Mm-hmm. And they told me that some regular sessions have slow sessions that are sort of under the wing of the regular session.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked amongst themselves, and then they talked with me, and we all decided to get a slow session started. I was at the Barley House in Concord, I was the organizer for the newbies, and they were the organizers and teachers for the group. They would organize some of the regular session members to take turns to come down each week to teach us new tunes and to teach us about their ideas of session etiquette. So besides Neil and Claudia, Bob Dunlavy would come down, and he plays accordion. He's really good. Mm-hmm. Mark Johnson on fiddle, and then also Greg Heppy on flute. Mm-hmm. And one time R.P. Hale came down. And they were just wonderful mentors to us. I was just so touched that they would take the time to do this. It was partly because they really wanted to do something good and nice for us. But I think the other motivation was they wanted to make sure that their regular session had just players in it who knew how to play.
Okay.
And so this way, the people who were really interested but just weren't quite up for prime time yet would have a place to go. And
so it was like their farm league?
Yeah. That's it. That's it exactly. Yeah. So that went on for many months, and I would just do the work of emailing people and trying to spread the word. And then one day, after a few months, Neil called me and said, "Oh, well, you know, you don't need us anymore, so have fun and let me know how it goes." And I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Oh, okay, I guess I'm the new leader. And away we went.
You were okay, so, and you were okay with that, or were you?
I was terrified, petrified, because I hadn't done anything like that before, and also because I'm a newbie too.
Yep.
And maybe I was a little more advanced than than most of the people in there, but not that much. Mm-hmm. So I at first wondered, how can I do this? But then thought, well, if I just see how it goes, you know, maybe it'll work.
Explain to me a little bit, what time does the session start?
It starts at 7 o'clock.
And next question is because it's the slow session, do people just show up and start playing tunes slowly? Or I think you mentioned a learning portion. Is there a learning portion? Tell me what this slow session looks like that's
sure.
different. Okay.
Yeah. It's not exactly like a regular session, not just because of the difference in speed, but also because about once a month we take on a new tune to learn. And the person who chooses the tune will introduce it or ask me to introduce it to the group. And we will then learn it phrase by phrase very, very slowly, mm-hmm. really, really slowly. Mm-hmm. A week or two ahead of time, I will make a recording of that tune mm-hmm. and send it out to everybody via email. And also, I'll send out sheet music, too.
Okay.
Because I remember how it used to be for me, and I have sympathy and plenty of tolerance.
Now, this is just
for that crutch.
To shed some light on this, your normal traditional music session has none of this.
No. A regular session would have no sheet music.
They show up, they grab their instruments,
and they play. And there wouldn't be any slow learning or anything like that. And so that's why a slow session is really a different creature, but it's still within that tradition. So I give people these tools a week or two in advance so they can get somewhat familiar with the tune. And then when we introduce it, it's done by ear. And then from then on, we can have that as part of our repertoire. And we have maybe, 3 dozen tunes, so not a whole lot of tunes. But for a new player, 3 dozen tunes is a lot. And
that's a substantial amount, I think.
If somebody needs to use sheet music, I don't look down on them.
Okay.
I just try to encourage people to move away from it.
Because that's one of the – tell me a little bit about session etiquette. And you said you don't mind if people look at sheet music.
Right.
We should mention that at a normal, traditional, quote-unquote, normal traditional music session, you shouldn't be looking at.
No. There are always exceptions. Every mm-hmm. session is different. And so if you are thinking about joining in a regular session, mm-hmm. First you should listen a couple of weeks at least. Mm-hmm. Without even bringing an instrument, mm-hmm. just to get the feel for it. Is this a sort of session where sheet music would be tolerated? And if not, don't bring any.
Okay.
And also get a feel for how much acceptance there is for learning a tune on the fly. And think about where you fit in with that level of tolerance, because some people are really, really good at
okay.
picking things up on the fly,
yeah.
and they can listen to a tune through once,
yeah.
and then start playing some of the notes the second time through, and maybe by the third time they've got most of it down.
Okay, so rule number one is listen, is what
listen,
I'm hearing,
listen.
And rule number two is think about the other people that are playing and
Absolutely.
How you might be able to fit in to what it is that they're doing.
Yeah, consider it a private party that just happens to be in a public space for
okay.
the enjoyment of the listeners. But you'll notice that at a lot of sessions, the people listening, you know, the people having dinner or whatever or mm-hmm. drinks, mm-hmm. don't clap afterwards because it's really this private sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put it too extreme, but if you think of that way as a social gathering
mm-hmm.
that you might be allowed to join.
Mm-hmm.
If you're nice enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a nice way to think of it. That's a really nice way to think of it, I think.
But other sessions are much more wide open. So that's another reason to really listen and watch for a couple of weeks at least, just to see what kind of session is this.
So I think that these, you know, might be good lessons for people of all, I mean, at least reminders for people of all levels of experience
yeah.
that attend sessions, or I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I would definitely say so.
And some sessions do have more tolerance for learning on the fly, even if you're not very quick at it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make the assumption that that's okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe try to get in and talk to somebody about it before, you know, maybe ask.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Speaking
of listening, there is a tune that I want to play that speaks to you. If our listeners are not obsessed with the music yet,
uh-huh.
they might be after we listen to this one tune.
Yeah, this one is by the Bothy Band. This is from their album After Hours that came out in the middle 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard this, not in the middle 70s, but just maybe 3 years ago, At first, I thought, oh my goodness, what is that beast I'm listening to? It was the Ellen Pipes that mm-hmm. Patty Keenan was playing, mm-hmm. and that he plays so brilliantly. But back then, I really didn't know what it was, and I was so used to Highland Scottish pipes because that's what my daughter plays, and Scottish lassies don't tend to mm-hmm. cotton too much for the Ellen Pipes.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I listened to it, the more I really got into this. And as the tune builds,
uh-huh.
it really kicks butt. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is as good as any of the rock music that I used to love when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that this could be part of the traditional music scene.
So this is something that really grabbed. This is the same emotional response that some people might have with rock you had with something like this, where it's taking you on a journey. I think that we're going to let our listeners take that journey themselves right now. How's
Sounds
that sound?
Good.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah, that rocked.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
So is that your new slow session? Is that what you're working on?
Maybe someday. I just love the fact that it's another Hag set. It's Pipe on the Hob and Hag at the Turn. I love those Hag tunes.
The Hag tunes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, they're just really fun. Hag with the money. That's a great visual.
Hag with the money. That's too beautiful for Hag with the money.
The next one that I've picked to try to illustrate some of my thinking along the way is a tune that Skip Gorman recorded recently on one of his new CDs. It's called Yankee Porridge. Mm-hmm. He just came out with 4 new CDs this mm-hmm. past year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. They're all really, really good. Mm-hmm. And this set is Lord Mayo mm-hmm. and Star of Munster. And one of the things that really struck me about this, besides the fact that he's just so darn good on that fiddle, mm-hmm. is that he puts his stamp on every one of these traditional tunes. And so even though he is so devoted to preserving the tradition, he recognizes that you have a lot of freedom within the tradition. And so I've heard Star of Munster played much differently than the way he plays it.
Okay.
And the way he does it is really fun, and it's beautiful, and it's interesting and lovely. He goes in and out of different modes mm-hmm. as he goes through it. So that's the second in the set. The first one in the set is Lord Mayo, and that one he plays by himself, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, let's give some of these. Let's give this one a listen as well. This is Lord Mayo and Star of Munster by Skip Gorman. See what you mean by the stamp. Very traditional, but I hear in the fiddle, for example, the staccato.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, yeah, the articulation, the way he bows. Yeah, he has his own way of doing it, and it's so inventive and nice.
That's what's nice about these tunes, wouldn't you say, is that you can put your...
Yes, yes. It, I think most newbies will say, but I can't even play the tune yet. And so you do have to get to a certain level of ability before you can start putting your own stamp on something and make it sound not like a big, horrible stomp. But I know we're running out of time, and I just wanted to say just a couple things about singing, because I started singing at sessions a little bit starting a couple of years ago, and have just been shocked with how much I've enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I never thought I would want to sing in public unaccompanied. And as with so much of this other stuff we've been talking about, it's all been because of hearing beautiful music that has just inspired me, and then having people help me once I've expressed some kind of interest. And some of the people who have been helping me so much are Mary Lou Philbin, who runs Ossian USA over in Loudoun. She has given me wonderful suggestions of who to listen to get good style suggestions from. And also Bruce McIntyre, who sings at and plays at the Friday night press room session in Portsmouth, spent some time with me coaching me and giving me ideas and helping me along. That was so helpful. And also Lynn Schultz from that same session was so quick to answer my questions when I first started going, and she's been really great. So I wanted to make sure I said something about that.
But these are just people that have helped you along, not necessarily because of the singing, but just in every way?
Yes, but especially suggestions with singing.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And one good example of a fine singer to listen to is Neve Parsons. If you ever get a chance to listen to her, we've run out of time to listen to her here, but
maybe a little bit. Put her in the background just a little bit. I'll keep my eyes on everything, but here we go. Why don't we give it just a few seconds to listen to?
What ails you, my jewel? What ails you, my jewel? In sorrow to mourn. Well, once I had a true love, but now I have none. Well, once I had a true love, but now I have none. He's gone and he's left me, he's cruelly deceived me. He's gone out, he's left me in sorrow to mourn.
Neve Parsons.
Yeah.
Definitely worth listening to.
Yeah, her first name, by the way, is spelled N-I-A-M-H. So don't be fooled. And so, to close out, I would love to talk about another inspiration of mine who is from the younger generation. And this is my son, Axel Stewart. He's 15, and he is quite a whiz on the mandolin and will take traditional music and then just take off with it and do these wonderful things that just make me smile and smile. I don't think I can ever do what he does, ever, no matter how hard I try. But it's still an inspiration because it makes me think, oh, there's just so much great music out there, and it brings such joy. So here we have a couple of tunes of Axel's.
I think I'm going to play these on the way out. I'm going to play these on the way out. I have a few things. There are a lot of sessions. There are a lot of ways to get into the music. We've been speaking with Barbara Stewart, who runs the session on Tuesdays at the Barley House in Concord from 7 to 10 p.m. This is the slow session. There are other sessions as well. Sunday nights at Reron Portsmouth, there's a session. Wednesday at Mel Flanagan's Irish Pub in Rochester, there is a session. It starts at 6:30 p.m. On Fridays between 5 to 9, there's the session at the Press Room on Daniel Street. There's also a lot of traditional Irish music happening. There's something happening right now down at Rira, which is Oran Moore. They're playing right now. If you have any questions or would like more information about the show, you can contact me, your host, Stephen Carrigan, at SCARRIGAN. At wscafm.org. Okay. S. Carrigan at wscafm.org. I can put you in touch with, I can get you information about the different tunes and songs that are played, or put you in touch with any of my guests or anything like that. Up next, We have a program called Under the Radar coming up, and in the spirit of my program, Local Folk, Under the Radar will be about local talent. They're going to dig deep into the archive and pull out the local talent. Just to give you a heads up, next week we have a very special program in memory of musician Dick Lewis of the Shenanigans, who died unexpectedly last November. I met Dick years and years ago. His stepson was one of my best friends throughout college and beyond, and I hadn't seen him for a while, and this is before I ever got involved with traditional music, and I knew that he was involved with it, and now that I'm involved, I wanted to get in touch with Dick, only to find out that he had recently passed away unexpectedly. His son, Ian Lewis, a musician in his own right, is stopping in to share a few memories and pay homage to the man that taught him so much. So we look forward to having Ian Lewis on to do a tribute to his dad, Dick Lewis. Thank you for joining us tonight on Local Folk, and we'll see you next week. We're going to leave you with three different tunes. Well, two, and then maybe even a third. Two of them by Barbara Stewart, my guest, Axel's son, that he wrote himself. And the last one is a set of tunes by Planxty. And what is the name of that? Just in case. It's the West Coast of Clare by Planxty, yes. if we have time. But thanks a lot. We'll see you next week on Local Folk.
Memories I have of you in peace. My mind was running back to the west coast of Clare, thinking of you and the times we had there. I walked to Spanish Point. I knew I'd find you there. I stood on the white strand, and you were everywhere. Vivid memories fade, but the mood still remains. I wish I could go back and be with you again. In Milltown there's a pub. It's there that I sat down. I see you everywhere. Your face is all around. The search for times past contains such sweet pain. I'll banish lonesome thoughts, but they'll return again. I walk along the shore. My face, my mind is numb with grief. Of you there is no trace. I'll think of this again when in far off lands I roam, walking with you. Old Atlantic foam. Sorrow and sadness, bitterness, grief, memories I me in peace. My mind was running back to the west coast of Clare, thinking